Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
He scores! He scores! It's all power! Oh, baby, that's hockey!
The Rangers win! Rangers win! Do you believe it?
Welcome to another episode, a playoff edition, the first playoff episode of Believe in Rangers, a New York Rangers podcast presented by Blue York on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined as always by my good friend and co-host, Cody Frankel. And
what
Cody,
up?
You know what time it is. You Baba O'Reilly. I can't wait to fucking hear that in the garden on Tuesday night. I will be there. I know you won't be there. You'll be there for game two if they let you in the garden. Because you have COVID, you little stupid bitch. And I am putting a poster up in New York City. If you see Cody Frankel, don't let him anywhere near the Rangers. Because I swear to God, if one of these players gets COVID, I'm putting the blame on you. And I'm making you excommunicated by all Rangers.
First and foremost, I feel okay. Just have a stuffy nose and a little cough.
Secondly, I thought you were saying that because I didn't ask you how you're feeling.
Oh, yeah, that too. Fuck you. Secondly, my quarantine and isolation end Wednesday morning. So game two's Thursday. So provided with a negative COVID test, I shall go and wear a mask the whole time because I'm a good, caring patron. Second of all, yeah, my weekend sucked from COVID, but I heard you had a wonderful weekend and you actually met your wife. So I would love to hear about it.
I fall very easily.
For those listening, every single time Johnny tells me about a girl, he's in drunk in love. Yeah. Drunken love.
I'm not going to say details. I just went out to dinner with a group of friends. You know, found love, FaceTime my mom, introduced her.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah. She met mom on day one. That's huge.
You know, what's really on day one. Yeah. You know, what's really funny though. So I wanted to go to this place.
Is Matt approved though?
He doesn't know.
Okay.
I didn't tell him.
Okay.
Nice. But I wanted to go to this place somewhere, nowhere for like the past week because they had like this open bar from 4 to 5. It was an open tequila bar. And I love tequila.
Once.
Yeah, great spot. I love tequila. So my friend sent me this link on Monday. He's like, buy a ticket. Like, we'll go together Saturday, 4 o'clock. So, you know, obviously I've been talking about it all week with some friends. Like, hey, we should go to somewhere, nowhere, open bar. Like, let's do it. No brainer. So 3 o'clock rolls around on Saturday. I go to my friend's rooftop and it's like so nice out, like literally warm out, shirt off. Like first time it like feels really warm in New York.
Ended up just like shirt off, you weirdo.
No, I was on the rooftop. I wasn't walking around it. I don't have the body to walk around with my shirt off. I'm a bag of milk. Almond milk. Yes.
Yeah.
Not oat. Almond milk.
No. We don't do oat. Almond or coconut only.
Coconut milk.
Dude, coconut milk's crack.
That's
good.
Me.
Yeah. That's
for me.
That's because you have weak bones.
But yeah, ended up just staying in this apartment until 8 o'clock at night, drinking on the rooftop. Didn't go to the open bar. Was really bummed about it, but then ended up going to dinner and hanging out. So it was really fun. And I did tweet that. I know I that was a dumb decision. I don't know why I tweeted that.
It was a dumb decision, yeah, but it's okay. We'll let it go.
It was too late to like go back and delete it though. I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. And Matt probably saw it too.
Yeah. So if I get married to her one day, I'll go back to that tweet.
Cool.
That's what I told her actually. I think when I tweeted.
Smooth.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm
all
sure
right,
that
well,
wasn't a red flag.
All right, let's get out of cringe mode here, yep. And we can go. No,
please transition.
No, Transition. Let's talk about some playoff hockey. First time our boys are in the playoffs in 5 years. Mm-hmm. Super freaking excited. Like you said, can't wait to hear that, Baba. It's going to be freaking awesome. I just picture everybody standing up in that garden, the electric roaring there. You know, that intro is going to be so different game one that it's going to be like some crazy hype video. People are just going to go bananas.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think like the last time we were in the playoffs, I don't think they were doing like those crazy, like on ice light shows yet that like Vegas had done and all these other play. Montreal does it now.
They did something because I went in 2017. Really? Yeah, they did something, but it wasn't. It probably wasn't what it's going to be now.
They're going to have a sick one.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I'm assuming they'll do it for games one and two. Please do it for game two. But anyways, we should also introduce our guest today, which is Tom Ertz Jr. Great guy. He does Blue Shirts Banter, puts out some great content, and we have a great interview lined up for everyone. And yeah, Johnny, do you want to add anything else there?
Yeah, I mean, that's just going to be super in-depth talking Rangers, Penguins, a lot of in-depth detail.
In-depthness.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's dive right into this week's, which is super exciting, this week's playoff matchups. Let's give some predictions right off the bat. So Rangers, Penguins, we went into, so they'll hear that in a little bit. Let's go right into Canes, Bruins.
Well, we can give our like brief like Ranger Penguin just like prediction if you want. I don't know.
All right.
Cody's Rangers in five. I'm Rangers in six.
Done. Continue. All right. Canes Bruins.
This one's really tough for me. So the Canes actually spanked the Bruins in all three games this year, I'm pretty sure.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I actually think the Bruins only scored one goal against Carolina in three games.
Do we know if Anderson's playing?
Anderson is definitely not in for game one. It's likely that it's gonna be Ranta. So I don't know. I think this one, like a lot of people are kind of underestimating the Canes because they don't have Freddie Anderson, but we've seen Pyotr Kuchetkov, however you say his name. Yeah. He was like 3-0. Also, I gotta say, I think I had the best tweet of all time in the history of Twitter.
The amount of times I've heard that from you now. Wait, which one was it?
Sarah Sivian, friend of the show, tweeted that Rod Brind'Amour decided to start Ranta and like he's giving Coochie. They call him Coochie or Kachi.
Okay.
A well-deserved rest. So I like in my head, I was like, where have I heard Kachi before? And I went to the clip in The Hangover when Leslie Chow is it like they're bringing out Doug out of the car. He goes, Kachi. So
that's what he said. Kachi.
Yeah. So I tweeted. I have that
scene like etched into my head when just no shirt on. Wasn't he in his underwear or something like that?
No. This is like when they're first meeting each other. Like when they say,
Doug. I thought when they were doing the exchange, that scene is forever etched in my memory.
No, that's a good one. But yeah, I was like, so I tweeted that and I was like, this is Rod Brind'Amour after Ranta lets up three goals in the first period. So a lot of the Canes fans loved it. So I didn't even give my prediction yet. So I think it's going to be Canes in six. I do think the Bruins will take a couple games, but and you're going to hear me say six a lot because I think six is just like the
best. You want to hear a hot take?
Yeah, what's yours? Sweet.
Bruins in seven.
Really?
Yep. I think the Bruins, because I think the Bruins have been playing incredibly well as of late. Mm-hmm. The Canes obviously as well. I think they ended on maybe a 4-game win streak or something like that, but obviously they don't have Anderson, which is a big factor. The Bruins are an incredibly tough team. They have a ton of stars. They're a good playoff hockey team. And didn't they bust up the Canes the last time they met in the playoffs? Wasn't that last year, 2 years ago? And they beat the Canes or maybe it was 2019. Actually,
they did beat the Canes. Blues, yeah. Right? They did beat the Canes that year.
Right. It was against the Blues. Yeah. It was 2019. Yeah. I knew it. And you know, they beat the Canes then. Obviously it's a different team now, but I just think this Bruins team, you know, they're going to find a way, they're going to grind, and they're going to somehow, some way get out of this first round. And they have a date, but they do have a date with Destiny round two. So they're fucked. But
do you think the Bruins in seven? Wow. Okay.
I do. Yep. I think the Bruins in seven. What do you think about Lightning Leafs? I think that's going to be a crazy series.
This is my favorite series. I'm so excited. And I actually, if I'm going to give anyone a bet right now, the first bet to place, I think take Tampa Bay game one money line right now. Tampa is like +105. And I think game one, it's going to be a lot
in Toronto.
Yeah. I think it's just gonna be a lot for Toronto in game one to like, cause I think they know going in that they have the most pressure out of any team right now. I think in the first round, I know the Chicklets guys talked about it. They argued like that maybe Edmonton does, but
I don't even think there's no chance.
I think Toronto, like, not that they necessarily have to, like, and we can maybe argue this too. If
Edmonton
just,
can
like,
miss
sidetrack.
The playoffs next year, Edmonton can miss the playoffs next year, and everybody will forgot they made the playoffs this year. But, you know what I mean? Like, they've been so inconsistent getting into the playoffs, whereas like the Leafs literally, what is it, 14 years or 18 years? they haven't won a series. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's been a long time.
Decade. Over a decade.
I disagree. Like, so just to what the Chicklets guys argued, because I know this was like a big debate, if there's more pressure on the Leafs or Oilers. Like, when they say, like, if they don't win a round, like, blow it up. Like, I think people have to remember, like, how long it took the Caps. Like, the Caps kept their core group for a decade, and they
lost so many times until they got beat down. But the difference here, obviously, is that the Leafs haven't found any way to win yet.
Yeah.
So that's like, you know,
but I don't think you blow it up.
No, I don't think you can blow it up. Their guys are so young. They're you know, outside of Tavares, who's how old is he?
I think he's 30 maybe.
31? Yeah, I think he's a little older. I think he's like 32 now.
He was drafted in 09, so he was 18 then. So what's that math?
You math guy?
31. He's 31 probably.
31. All right. So anyways, they have him, but then they have, you know, they have Nylander, they have Marner, they have Matthews. These guys are all young. They're all like mid-20s. They're not blowing anything up. I think if they do lose, they're going to take it on the chin like they've been doing, and then just like get back to it, and probably the same BS spiel they'll have next year, like, oh, this is the year, whatever. But
make another Amazon Prime show.
Oh, yeah. You watch that?
Yeah, it was great. I love Will Arnett. He was awesome.
Yeah.
I think Maple Leafs in seven, but I do think Tampa wins game one, because I think like the pressure is just going to get to Toronto for game one, I think. So I do like Tampa in game one, but I'm taking the Leafs in seven. What about you?
Leafs in seven. Okay. I think this game, this series, has all the makings of a game seven series. So I think you're right on that. I'm going to go with the Lightning in seven. And I think Tampa is going to take over that last game, and Toronto is going to continue this downfall. Mm-hmm. What about Panthers Caps?
Okay.
Because I know you have said if the Panthers get matched up to the Caps, you could see them losing. So I want to see if you're going to walk that back or what your position is.
I've done a very deep dive on this series, and there's no doubt that Florida is the better team. Florida's been the best team all season. They won the President's Trophy. Like, there's no doubting that.
They only won like 14 in a row to end the season. Not a big deal.
I'm not saying that Florida is not the better team in this situation, but the three games that they've played this year, all three one goal games, Washington has shown that they can compete with Florida.
Yeah.
You know, Florida does have the goaltending edge, and arguably, I mean, they're definitely a better offensive team right now, but the Capitals have a lot of offensive firepower. And I think Ovechkin is going to be okay to play game one and game. Have you seen anything about that?
I have not, but I think he's been skating. So he's like, he should be good. He should be good.
So, you know, I think in this one, I wouldn't count Washington out. I could see this one going seven as well. I do think Florida will win, but I don't think it's going to be very easy for them. I like, part of me wants to say like maybe Washington pulls it off, but I don't know.
You can say a hot take if you want to, just say it.
I'm so scared to say Washington in six even, but
Caps fans are going to come after you and murder your family.
I think this is going to be my one surprise, because we've seen also in the past President's Trophy winners, they don't get it done in the playoffs. And I think Florida just might be, they're not frauds by any means, but they might just have too much pressure on them right now with how good they had of a regular season. So
they don't get it done in the playoffs.
Huh?
I said sometimes they don't get it done.
The President's Trophy winners?
Yeah, they have in the past.
When was the last time a President's Trophy winner won the cup?
I want to say like 2015 or something like that.
That was the Rangers.
No, it wasn't. Definitely
not that.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. That was the Rangers. Actually, I think it was 2013 against the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks against whoever they played. I think that was it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that was a shortened season too. That was when they went on like that crazy run in the beginning of the year. Remember they won?
Right.
They had points in like 25 straight games. They were unreal that year. So which also was like similar to the run that the Panthers had this year. But
which
I think
is actually kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Nine years. That's a little. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
so I just think like this is the one series where I think there could be a surprise just because of the difference in, like, you know, obviously it's the President's Trophy winners against like the last place team in the East. And I think Washington is probably the best worst team we've seen in the playoffs. So I don't know. This is my one, like, you know,
it's okay.
Hot take surprise. I think that the Capitals could win. And I'm going to say in six on home ice.
Nice. I'm going Panthers in four.
Okay. Yeah, I knew that. I was waiting for that.
No, I think the Panthers are going to destroy them. I'm going to go Panthers in five. We can move on with that. Johnny, we will see. Let's go on to the West. So we got Flames Stars. This series I'm definitely excited about. I think the Flames are an incredible team this year. I've said it to you probably all season long. They have so many dynamic goal scorers. I think they had 40 or not 40. I think they had four 30 goal scorers, a couple 40 goal scorers. They've just been crazy, crazy hot offensively. And for this one, I'm tempted to go Flames in four. I think the Stars have a good team, but I am tempted to go Flames in four, but I'm going to go Flames in five. Cause I feel like somehow the Stars will find a way to squeak in a game.
We agree on this one. I completely agree. I think it's Flames in five.
Okay. How about Avs Preds?
This one, I could maybe see the Preds stealing one game, but
dude, Avalanche have been playing bad lately. I don't.
They've understand. Also they haven't been fully healthy.
I know, and they've probably benched people. Like they pretty much like clinched, mm-hmm. like I don't know, a month ago now. Like how long ago? So. Yeah. What do you think about that series?
I think this is the one where like, this is just like the chalk for me. Like, honestly though. Okay. So I'm looking at this now and I didn't know this, but Nashville's won the last three games against Colorado.
Dude, Nashville is a good team and they have a lot of different scorers.
Mm-hmm. But I do think Colorado just like on a different level.
I mean, dude, they have Yossi at 96 points this year. He literally tied Panarin, which is crazy. Matt Duchene, 86 points. Forsberg's obviously, dude, Duchene and Forsberg both had over 40 goals this season. They have two 40 goal scorers. Mm-hmm. They have three other 20 plus goal scorers. You know, they're not going to be an easy team to just roll over.
No.
And I think, I know we've talked about like Colorado hasn't been playing well, but they've, you know, been a little hurt, but I think the Preds have actually been playing pretty like as of lately. So that would be the only like caveat there. I think maybe in their last 10, they're like 4-6 or something like that, but
yeah, they're 4-6.
Yeah, but they do have some dangerous scorers, and I could listen. I'm not saying by any means they're going to win this series because they're not, but I could see them sneaking in maybe two games. So for that, I mean, I'm going Avs in six.
The Avs are like 1-5-1 in their last seven. So
The Avs have been rough for maybe 2 weeks now. So
I'm going to agree with you on the Avs in six. Because I don't think Nashville has a chance to win the series, but I could see them winning a game. They should win one game, and you know I could see them stealing a second one. But also, I'm pretty sure UC Saros is hurt.
Is he hurt? Oh, Saros is hurt. I mean,
yeah, Saros is hurt. It says he's coming back in mid-May. So their starter right now is David Rittich.
I think he's 6-7. He's 6-3-4. So he has seven losses, and his GAA is a 3.57. All right, I take it back. I'm going Avs in five.
Okay, I still think Avs in six, or it could be a sweep. But either way, the Avs.
Well, mid May. If you're looking at May 15th as the indicator, May 15th is Game 7. So that is basically the whole series that Saros is out, and you know how good Saros is. So yeah. They're gonna need Yossi to carry them. Like they're gonna need him to lock down that defense. Yeah. That's gonna be an interesting one. What about Kings Oilers?
Kings Oilers, this one's interesting. I don't want to count the Kings out, but I do think Edmonton is just like the much better team here. You know, the Kings obviously do have the experience in goaltending, which is like what Edmonton lacks the most. But Mike Smith has been really good lately. Mike Smith's like really stepped up. I think he won his last eight straight starts, if I'm not mistaken. So I do think Edmonton's gotten hot here at the right time. And, you know, I do think Connor McDavid is just like going to have to, you know, step it up a notch with Draisaitl. So, you know, I'm going Oilers in five here. I just think, like I said, I don't want to count the Kings out, but I do think just Edmonton's offense is too much. And Smith has been playing well. Like LA doesn't really score a lot of goals. So, you know, I really just think offense takes over here for Edmonton.
So the Kings have also been playing pretty well. They're 6-3-1 in their last 10.
They also don't have Doughty.
this is going to be, they don't have Dowdy, but this is going to be my hot take. I think the Kings find a way to get it done against the Oilers in seven. And the reason I'm saying that is I know the Oilers have Dreisaitl. I know they have McDavid. You know, they have Smith, like you just said, who's been playing really hot. But what I will say is the Kings have a lot of playoff experience in the past. I know they're kind of getting a little younger here, but, you know, Kopitar still had 67 points this season. You know what a pain in the neck firsthand that guy can be come playoff time. They got Philip Deneau. He's been playing pretty well as well. They also have Victor Arvidsson. So they have a bunch of different guys who can step up where they need. I know they're going to, you know, they're listen, Deneau is for sure going to have to figure out which guy he wants to shut down, either McDavid or Dreisaitl. He can't do both. So that's a problem in itself, but I don't know, man. I just think Edmonton's not really made for the playoffs. And if this was my hot take, I think that the Kings, I'm going to go the Kings in seven here.
One interesting stat also, in the last three games between these two teams, they played four times this year. Neither team has scored a power play goal. It's pretty interesting.
That is interesting. And also, we've played the Kings multiple times. We played them, what, three times this year? And no, twice. Was it twice?
Yeah.
Okay, well, both times we played them, I know we beat them once, right, and we lost once.
We lost in L.A. I don't remember the game in New York.
Yeah, we had the overtime.
The shootout. Fox's backhand. That was nasty.
Yeah, and the Laffy won. But, you know, listen, they were a tough team both times we played them. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I thought we played them three times, but, you know, they were pesky. And I remember I said to you months ago, that the Kings were a good team and they're a team to look out for. Mm-hmm. And here they are in playoffs. And, you know, they got that third seed. They're playing the Oilers, who have a much more high octane type of offense against them. But I don't know, man. I just think some way, somehow they're going to get it done. So
yeah,
that's my take. And lastly, let's go to the Blues Wild.
I know this is your series to watch, so I'm going to let you start it off here so I don't steal any of your thunder.
Yeah, I mean, I think this to me is going to be the most fun series to watch out of any series. This has all the makings of a game seven series on it. It's definitely going seven games, I think. These teams are so evenly matched. It's kind of it's going to be an electric factory. It's really kind of sucks that they both have to play each other and knock one out right from the get-go. You got the Blues. They're always a solid playoff squad. They still have a ton of studs from their 2019 Cup team. They have 230 goal scorers in Tarasenko. Close your eyes, Johnny, former Ranger, and our buddy, just kidding, but Pavel Buchnevich over there.
Friend of the show,
who, my goodness, had 76 points this year. That's a career high. On top of that, the Blues also had six other 20-plus goal scorers. They have a ton of firepower here, and they also have Ryan O'Reilly, who had 19 goals. But you know what? That guy can do some damage come playoffs. He was a huge, huge factor of their 2019 Cup team. And Ville Husso, man, he has been fantastic all season long, 25-6 record. They're going to be a tough team to out. I would not be surprised, another hot take, if this team makes a run to the Cup. But onto the Wild, I mean, they got Kirill the Thrill. Guy had a monster season with 105 points, 45 goals, which is crazy. They have two other 30-goal scorers in Hartman and Kevin Fiala. I've told you I'm a big fan of Kevin Fiala. I wish the Rangers found some way to get him. They have a handful of other, you know, 20-plus goal scorers, one being our other good friend of the show, Matt Zuccarello. he also had a career year this year with 79 points. They have rookie Matt Boldy. I think he has to at least be considered for the Calder. He had 39 points in 45 games. The one issue for me was their goaltending, and now they addressed it with Flower. I don't know. Do you think Flower's going to start? Do you think Talbot's going to start? What do you think?
I think Talbot's starting. I think Talbot's the guy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see? So listen, they traded for Flower. I think they're probably going to give him the go-ahead for game one. That's my guess, but you know, they have another good goaltender in Talbot. I just don't know if Talbot really has that necessary experience. But I'll tell you, man, like I said, it's a shame these two teams have to meet in round one. I'm going to give the slight edge to St. Louis. So I'm going St. Louis in seven.
Okay. I agree with a lot of the things you said here. I am going to say my statement first, and I think I told you this before, but I'm saying St. Louis in five. I think St. Louis is the most slept on team going into this playoffs right now. Like I said, they got the second best power play and they have the fifth best penalty kill. And Minnesota has the 25th, I guess, or seventh worst penalty kill. So I think special teams is going to be a huge, huge factor in this series. And dating back to last year, the Blues have won 9 out of the last 10 meetings between these two teams. The Blues have owned Minnesota. Minnesota. And that one win was an overtime win back on like May 1st, 2021 last year, where Minnesota won 4-3 in overtime. So St. Louis has dominated, you know, these matchups in the last two seasons. And St. Louis, like I said, before the Tampa Bay Lightning, they're the last team that's won the cup. Like they have, you know, a 1-2 punch in net. Obviously, Billy Huso is the guy. Bennington hasn't been the best this year, but he's shown that he's capable of stepping in when needed. So I think this is St. Louis's series. I think everyone might be overhyping Minnesota a little bit. I know they have a lot of firepower up front, but, you know, we've seen in the past, this team hasn't been able to get it done in the playoffs. Like, you know, I think they've been there every year and they just can't seem to get past the second round, similar like what Washington was, you know, until they got it done. So, you know, I think Minnesota just might be like that word fraud.
Fraud. Damn. He came out with it. Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's not a bad take. I agree. Minnesota, you know, they could see an early out, but I think honestly, on the other side of the spectrum, they busted us up twice.
Yeah.
You know, they could easily beat St. Louis. I mean, they can beat St. Louis in 5. Like, I just think these two teams are so evenly matched that it's really is a coin flip, which is why I think this just has game 7 written all over it. Mm-hmm. I think that was like maybe the 3rd or 4th game 7 I said, but I just think a lot of these matchups are like closer than you'd think. So, that should be interesting. And, you know, before we send it over to Tom, did you have any other questions? Did you want to talk about anything else?
I'm trying to think of like, you know, something we can kind of look forward to. Maybe I was going to ask you some rapid fire questions here for the Rangers players. So, you know, I want to ask you just some quick things off the bat. Who do you think scores the first goal in the playoffs for the Rangers?
First goal of the playoffs for the Rangers, Frankie Vetrano.
That was mine, you scumbag.
Was it?
Yeah. Dude. Oh no, I actually picked Frankie for the next question I'm going to ask you.
Wow. Really?
Okay. I think the first person to score in the playoffs is Laf. I'm actually taking Laf as the first goal scorer.
That would be sick.
Yeah. I think that'd be sick. And the second question. So my answer was Vetrano. Who do you think scores the first overtime goal if we go to an overtime game?
Oh, I'm going with big boy, Jacob Trouba.
Jacob Trouba in overtime. That's a good one.
Yep.
Slapper. Huh?
I said a nice slapper from
next question. Do we see a fight in game 1?
I feel like we've been seeing a fight every single game the Rangers have played this year. Like at least for the last like 20 games, I feel like they fought in every single game. So I feel like I have to say yes.
I kind of feel a Brian Boyle and Jacob.
I was just going to say Brian Boyle is going to find some way to be in that fight.
Mm-hmm. Boyle Trouba.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Sorry. What's the question?
I knew Siri was going to fucking say anything. That's something. Funny. So who do you think has the most goals for the Rangers throughout all of playoffs?
I'm taking Frankie Vetrano. He scored 8 goals in 21 games since joining the team. I think a lot of the attention when he's out there is going to be on Kreider and Zibanejad.
Wow.
I think Frankie is
but he shouldn't play with Kreider, right? He shouldn't play with Kreider.
Yeah, that one's backfired on me for sure. I really thought he should play with Panarin and Strome, but it's obviously been proven that he can play with Kreider and Zibanejad. But then again, Gerard Gallant is known to shuffle up the lines. So we could see some, you know, different combinations happen throughout the playoffs if things aren't working. You know, something I would even do or consider is like putting Kopp up with, you know, Zibanejad and Kreider and having Frankie take his spot because, dude, Panarin and Vetrano, I really think they'd be a great 1-2 punch. Like as great as Kopp has been with them, Vetrano is a guy. If you find the puck, if you get the puck on his stick in the right spot, he's going to score 9 times out of 10.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, listen, good answer. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Mika Zibanejad. I think
that's your guy.
That's my guy, but I think he's going to have a hell of a playoffs. I think my guess is he's going to have 9 goals these playoffs and he's going to go off 9 goals. Hint, hint, we're going to be in here for a long time. But on that note, who do you think out of, you know, all the teams in the playoffs is going to have the most goals?
I'm going the Pacific Division and I'm taking him. What?
Me too.
Okay. And not only because I think he's just going to score a lot, but also because I think this team is going to go really far. I actually think they're probably going to end up winning the Western Conference, and that's the Calgary Flames. And I'm going with Matthew Tkachuk.
I am going the Flames as well, but I'm going Elias Lindholm.
Elias Lindholm, really?
Sleeper. What do you mean saying really like that? He had the same amount of goals this year as Tkachuk.
I know, but like, I just feel like Tkachuk's more built for the playoffs. I don't know.
No. Don't put the disrespect on Lindholm's name. He's He's a beast, and I think he's going to have a hell of a playoffs. My guess is he's going to have 11 goals. What? How many goals do you think Tkachuk's having?
13.
Ooh, okay. Okay. For reference, Braden Point had 14 last year, and then the next closest next to him, I believe, was 8. So clearly he dominated those playoffs. So you might not find too many guys going on an absolute tear like that. So should be interesting.
Yeah, but I think that wraps it up for us for this week. We're going to have another episode coming out Thursday, which will preview game 2 of the Rangers-Penguins series. We're going to try to stay consistent with the Monday-Thursday episodes. But Cody, if you don't have anything else to say, I think we should kick it over to Tom Ertz.
Yeah, the only thing is our Thursday episodes will probably be a little shorter. Yeah. And then it'll more so just be game reactions and whatnot. But yeah, let's end it.
All right. Enjoy, everybody. This week for the playoffs, we are very happy to bring on a new guest, a special guest, someone that we are proud to call a friend now, a big Rangers personality that you might recognize from Blue Shirts Banter, Tom Ertz Jr. Tom, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Thanks for having me. How's it going?
What's going on, man? Yeah, we're pumped. We got playoff hockey back for the first time in 5 years, and I'm legal to drink and watch playoff hockey.
Yeah, it's hard to think about it. I guess in context, so like this weekend, my brother graduated from college, so that was a 4-year experience. So to think, you know, the last time they were in the playoffs was, you know, year before he started college. Like that's a really long time ago.
Right. Yeah. No, it definitely is, and it's funny because I make fun of Johnny because I call him a baby. And like last time we were in playoffs, he couldn't even drink, which is crazy to think about. But yeah, I guess I would love to start off with, you know, how do you get into your Rangers fandom? I know you write for Blue Shirts Banter. I think you do some Vegas Golden Knights stuff as well now. So floor is yours.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been a Rangers fan since I've been a kid. I would say like, you know, started going to games like in 1999. And just, you know, going to the first game, and like it was weird because like a lot of people talk about like, you know, like the 1994 team and everything, but you know, I was, you know, it was not even 2 yet. But you still had some remnants of that team, you know, Messier was around, you know, once he was reacquired, Leach, Richter, and all that. So you would see these guys, and it's like, you know, and the way my dad explained it to me is like, you know, these guys were legends and stuff like that. And then just as time goes on, you know, there's that period, you know, between like 99 and 04, where there's a lot of crap going on, you know, a lot of random players, you know, whether it's like Theo Fleury, Eric Lindros,
Mike Dunham.
oh my God, Mike Dunham. Yeah. The last goalie to wear 30 before Hank. So, yeah, I mean, just start off with that. And then as time goes on, you know, the internet becomes more of a thing and, you know, just start blogging and stuff and kept with it. And here we are now.
Yeah, digital's definitely taken over. How'd you get into switching to the Vegas Knights?
So with the Vegas Golden Knights, that was just sort of like a thing where I stepped in sort of temporarily. So with SB Nation, they obviously have a lot of different contributors. Right. And the guy who that was running the site, he actually got hired by the, I think it's the Las Vegas Sun. So he's now doing this completely full time. So there was an opening and, you know, I've been around SB Nation for a while. So it was a little bit of a fun experiment. Like the season obviously didn't end great for them, so I hope that I didn't
crazy them anything. Crazy underwhelming, huh?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, like a lot of people like to look at it. It's like, you know, and it was interesting. Like people want to hate Vegas, and I can understand reasons why.
I don't get it.
To hear your perspective on it because you're writing on them a little bit, and there was all that talk with Eichel coming to the Rangers, and if the Rangers don't get Eichel, they're not going anywhere, blah, blah, blah. And now here we are, and here they are, who actually got Eichel. So, yeah, it's interesting.
It's an interesting dynamic because it's very easy to look at Vegas and be like, you know what, this is a team that went to the Stanley Cup final in their very first year. So they have not had to go through any hardships. And obviously this being the first year, they missed the playoffs. And it's just a thing where, like, you know, they've been able to add all of this talent, and that – can piss off people, whether it's them trading for Pacioretty, obviously getting Eichel, signing Petrangelo. And then there's also like the, you know, jettisoning of Marc-Andre Fleury coming off a Vezina winning season and extending Lehner. So basically that I think rub some people the wrong way. And then there's also the concept of they wanted to wait for Lehner to get his surgery and stuff. So like, I can understand elements of it, but there were a lot of interesting stories with like some of their younger players who were, you know, whether they were like third or fourth liners being asked to step up into to bigger roles, and they did a pretty good job. I mean, an interesting thing for me was just watching Brett Howden actually look like an NHL player. And it's interesting because, you know, he got a lot of shit while he was in New York. Not all of it was his fault. I mean, as we look back and we look at, and it's only been a year of Gerard Gallant. And, you know, one thing that I look at is he's had a better feel of where to put guys and sometimes moving people up, moving down. Like, I know people get annoyed with when Lafreniere was on the fourth line or Lafreniere was with a healthy scratch. And like, that shit pissed me off too. But like under David Quinn, it sort of to me was this concept of, all right, this is a guy who's been a college coach. He's been used to be having top tier talent who are around for a little bit and go onward. But then you have these other guys who are in the middle who, you know, you just tell them what to do and they do it. There's no pushback. There's no anything right. like that. But yeah, Howden looked really good. And, you know, it was an interesting season for Vegas. I think, you know, once the dust settles a little bit, like I think Pete DeBoer is probably going to get fired. Like just the way he's sort of met with the media over the last couple of days, like when they asked him about Lehner and his comment was sort of like, well, I'm kind of worried about who's around now. And it's sort of this, like, I don't really give a fuck type thing. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, but it's been interesting, but it's obviously great. You know, the three Rangers are back in the playoffs and, you know, that'll be good to focus on and not, you know, what Vegas was not doing.
So I want to switch gears quickly and just dive into this Rangers Penguins series because I'm starting to have a little bit of like, not second thoughts, but
oh my God, no. Here we go, dude.
Everyone, like literally I see every analyst, like anyone that covers the NHL right now is counting out the Penguins. Like not only Ranger fans, like literally people that just cover the game of hockey. Almost everyone I've seen has picked the Rangers to win this series. Do you think there's just any like, I mean, I don't know how to word it even, but I think, is there like an overconfidence maybe? And just because of how much the Rangers have dominated in the regular season that like, should we not be overlooking Pittsburgh as much as everyone is?
So I think there's two elements to it. So the first is, I don't think this group is going to go into this series with a sense of overconfidence because the general vibe all year long has not been really trying to look too far ahead. It's just going game to game. Mm-hmm. And you have sort of like a mixed complexion of the roster where you have young guys who obviously don't have playoff experience. You have some guys who have gotten as far in the Stanley Cup final and lost, like Reeves. Then you have guys like Panarin who's had, you know, some playoff experience. And then you have guys, you know, like Shesterkin who, yeah, this is his first real playoff experience in the NHL, but he won a championship in the KHL and obviously mm-hmm. playing against, you know, some top talent. I think the when I look at this, people don't want to count out Sidney Crosby. They don't want to count out Evgeny Malkin, mm-hmm. Chris Letang. Like, they've won three Stanley Cups, and they, you know, the last team, you know, before, you know, Tampa to win back-to-back, and right. they did it in two regular seasons. So I think there's this sort of like respect that you want to give them. And obviously Mike Sullivan, who's a really good coach, and he's had the experience of making the most when guys have been injured. So even though, yeah, I get that they're going to be probably missing Zucker to start, Jari, mm-hmm. that's just sort of what Pittsburgh has always been used to. And I think there's also this element of people not wanting to give the Rangers all of their due yet, because as we saw all year long, the prevailing narrative was they're just Shesterkin, they're just the power play. Was there some truth to that? Yes. Yeah. But you look at how they address things at the trade deadline, how they actually brought in NHL talent. And it wasn't just bringing in NHL talent. It was pushing people who were playing above their means further down in the lineup, to where you have some guys who are healthy scratches right now who probably could be in the lineup. So I think, and like, obviously, you know, if the series doesn't go the way that it does, that people could be looking back on this and be like, wow. But the Rangers realistically should win this series in 5 or 6 games. And the reason why I say that is for the Penguins to win this series, they're going to have to beat Shesterkin 4 times. And I just don't see them being able to do that based on how the games have gone this year. And considering some of those games were before they upgraded the roster. Now, obviously, playoff hockey is completely different than the regular season. We've seen guys who suck in the regular season that they just turn it on when the playoffs start. But when you look at this roster, and I guess the confidence for me is a lot went right for the Rangers, but there's also some things that you didn't exactly go the play as planned. Like you could say Lafreniere had a really good end of the season, right. But there are some people who look at him as he's a number one overall pick. You want a little bit more out of him. You want to say you didn't have Capocacco the entire year. You look at how much was propelled by Chris Kreider scoring as many goals as he did. He never scored 30 in a year. He scores 52. Mm-hmm. So you could look at it from the perspective of this team accomplished a lot with not everyone playing up to their complete potential. And this playoff series gives them an opportunity for other guys to step up and you know, propel them forward. So I look at this as a very good experience for them. And I think the Rangers, they should win this series. And I think after that, Igor can steal a round. And if he does steal a round, then after that, you know, you're kind of playing with house money.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with that take, Tom. And I want to dive a little bit further into the breakdown of the Rangers and the Penguins matchup. I mean, the last time we played Pittsburgh in a playoffs was 2016. They beat us in 5 games. It was the start to, you know, their 2 back-to-back cups. What'd you say?
That was the emergence of Matt Murray, which is
I'm
afraid of right now.
Right.
Sorry,
so, well, listen. So that happened, but the Rangers team then were an old team kind of on their last leg. This time around, I'm hoping it's kind of a complete role reversal where we're really building something special here. And this Pittsburgh team is an old team kind of on their last legs. So if you dive a little bit more into the Rangers, I mean, we have a 50 goal scorer in Kreider, first time, you know, since when? Jágr? Yeah, Jágr. So then we have 4 players over 70 points. First time we've done that since 1994. I mentioned this to Johnny back in when, like February, when we were going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I assumed it would happen in February. We were trending that way. And we have all these special things going on with this team. But the one thing I would, you know, love to know from you guys is who do you think for both the Rangers and the Penguins might be like a game breaker, an X factor, and also maybe like a bust in this playoff series? Like for me, I could start. I think the game, and not including Igor, I mean, I think he's obviously the game breaker. I think for me, it has to be Artemi Panarin here. He really needs to do his thing. And, you know, he's over 1.28 points per game, I think, this year. So he obviously had a tremendous year. He missed 10 games in the end. So, you know, he had an incredible year. I think he needs to do his thing. X factor, I told Johnny this last week, I think it's got to be Chris Kreider. He keeps needing to do his thing and scoring goals. If he does that, you know, we'll be just fine. And then for me, for a bust, and Johnny, cover your ears, I think it's gonna be Ryan Strome. Johnny's laughing at me because that's his guy. He's been giving Ryan Strome praise for a couple weeks, saying fans are gonna fall in love with him during the playoffs. But he'd be the one guy for me that it wouldn't surprise me at all if he was, you know, pretty much a non-factor in this series, but I would love to hear your guys' thoughts as well.
Sure. So I'll go first. And before I give it, so it's interesting you bring up the past series with Pittsburgh, because to me, I feel like the Rangers are kind of responsible for the fact that they won those 2 Stanley Cups, because you look at how they come back. Obviously the Marty San Luis series, they're down, they come back. Mm-hmm. The next year they win in 5 games. And the reason why they won that series in particular is because the Rangers were a fast team. They played with pace. And basically the Penguins, they looked at that series and they're like, we have to rebuild. We have to change. We have a lot of slow guys. And then they did exactly that. They brought in Kessel. And that
Connor Sheary.
Yeah, exactly. They did a lot of little things that they learned from that loss to the Rangers, because they pretty much got embarrassed. So I think definitely that this time around, the Rangers, they certainly will have that sort of concept in mind. But for breakout, I don't know if you could consider it a breakout, but I think Kopp is a guy that is going – he's playing for big money right now. Like, right. Obviously, he played really well in the regular season for the Rangers, but
he's going to have a lot points.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to have a lot of attention on him, a lot of national attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's the type of player that generally gets paid in free agency. Like, I don't have the list off the top of my head, but I don't think there's a ton of premier, like, forwards who are free agents. Like, I know on the center front, like, Kadri is going to be someone that people are going to throw money at. Strom could get a lot, but Kopp sort of fills in this spot where you play him at center, you can play him at wing. So I certainly think that he's someone that is going to look to use this to earn himself a lot more money. As for X Factor, I mean, I don't know if this is sort of like fantasy casting, but I think that this is a perfect opportunity for Lafreniere. I feel that younger players these days, you might not see them as active on social media, but I think they're in tune with what people are saying. And I definitely feel like he's the type of guy that he's heard all the noise and like, oh, you know, he's not really producing like former number one picks have, you know, did the Rangers, you know, make a mistake and all this stuff. And this gives him an opportunity to make a name for himself. And even if doesn't matter how far they go, if he's one of their top players, a lot of people are going to forget about what happened in the regular season.
Right, right.
And then as for bust, it's tough. I mean, I can kind of
you could just say Ryan Strome if you want.
So like, I can agree with Ryan Strome just because it seems like, you know, when they added Kopp, it was sort of like, and obviously he's playing with
Panarin. The momentum's building up of Kopp.
It's right, and you feel like he's saying to himself, like, you know, am I getting replaced? You know, have I lost an opportunity to sign long-term here? Because I do feel bad for Strome because he's never had a long-term deal in his career. He had his entry-level deal. And then we'll since that,
it's been, else.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But that, if I were to go with another one, just to not be, not to steal your answer, it's tough for me to say, but Kreider is someone I could just potentially see. Not that he's going to be bad, but he's going to regress just enough that, you know, he's not as big of an impact player. Because, like, he's been on an amazing heater, but how long is that going to last? Can that last another round, two rounds, three rounds?
Right.
So I guess for him, it would just be what he was previously, and that's not a terrible thing, but I think a lot of people are like, oh man, he had this amazing regular season, he's gonna score a bunch of goals in the playoffs. Could he? Yeah, I mean, the other thing is depending on how many power plays they have, and we know in the playoffs that can be inconsistent.
That's why I chose Kreider for my X Factor guy, because he's not really an X Factor because he's such a good player already, but like,
right,
he is, because he needs to keep up what he did the entire season for this team to be successful throughout the entire playoffs, unless you're going to ask, you know, 3-4 guys to cover that type of production. And we all know, you know, the refs kind of eat their whistles come playoffs. So like the Rangers, especially Kreider, I mean, a majority of his goals are on that power play. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see kind of what we do without as many power plays. But Johnny, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I was also thinking, I mean, you guys both had great answers, but, you know, I am going to kind of disagree with both of you. No offense.
Okay.
For a breakout player, like, I do think it is Ryan Strome, and Cody, like, obviously you can attest. I've been saying this for probably over a month now, simply because, and you guys made the good point about Kopp, but if Strome and Kopp are playing on the same line together with Panarin, it's not like, so it's not really a competition of like who's outperforming who, right? They're both in the same boat. And, you know, obviously they both are thinking about a contract, but they both also want to win a Stanley Cup. Like, these are two guys who love to compete and haven't won shit yet in their career. And the only way to get individual success for them is to have team success. Like, if they lose in the first round, guess what? Those guys probably aren't going to be very highly valuable. But if this team gets to the cup, a large part of it is going to be the way they play. And every team's going to take notice of that. And they'll both get the individual success, you know? So I think in this series, like the top guys, like, you know, the Malkins, the Crosbys, the Letangs are kind of canceled out by the Zibanejads, Panarins and Foxes. You know, I think everyone kind of expects those three to perform for each team. And a lot of the focus and attention will be on those three guys from the other team. Right. And the reason why I picked Strome to be a breakout player is because Strome is on that first power play unit. And a lot of the Penguins' focus probably will go to Kreider because, you know, most of the Rangers' goals on the power play come out of Kreider. So I think Ryan Strome will be that guy who's kind of left open a little bit here and there because, you know, you got the Mika one-timer. That's a huge threat to Pittsburgh. So I'm sure, you know, they're going to try to limit those. And then who's open back door? Probably Ryan Strome. Like, you know, just kind of like how I'm thinking in that sense. Like, I just think he'll have the most opportunity because the focus and attention won't necessarily be on him. So that's why I think he'll be the breakout guy. And listen, this could be the biggest fucking coldest take ever, but you know, that's kind of just what I've been saying for about a month. Cause I think, you know, he's a guy who's been such a love hate player by the Ranger fans for, you know, probably like 2 to 3 years now, honestly. And not that he has a lot to prove, but I've gone back to that bubble series with Carolina, like first shift, Ryan Strome fights Justin Williams, you know, like he's just a guy who can not necessarily set the tone, but a guy who just understands that he has to give a little bit more than what he did in the regular season. And he had a career high in goals. Like he probably is feeling good right now.
So who's your bust then, Johnny?
My bust? Oh my God. I really don't want to say it. I'm really scared, honestly, because like not bust, but I'm just like nervous.
You're going to say Panarin, huh?
No, I'm really not. Okay. It's going to come as a surprise, actually. I don't think he's going to be a bust, but I am a little nervous to see how Adam Fox plays in the series, just because I'm confident in him. I'm confident in him. I've always believed in him, and he's always outperformed, you know, everywhere he's been. But, you know, he's not necessarily the toughest player, and they're going to be very, very physical on Adam. Like, they're going to – the Pittsburgh Brian Rust is going to go after Adam Fox and Brian Boyle, and all these big guys are going to try to get him off his game. And he's never played on a stage like this. I know he's played in the World Juniors and gold medal games like that, but he's never played in the Stanley Cup playoffs for his homegrown team in Madison Square Garden, where he's gone to probably, you know, tens and twenties of playoff games before.
Yeah.
And he just, I think he might feel like a little extra pressure than ever before in his life. So I am a little nervous. I don't think he's going to play bad, but he's like the one guy where I'm like, you know, interesting to see how he does because this is his first real playoff series.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I find it funny that you mentioned Brian Boyle because me and my dad always joke, like, I feel like when he played for us, he was the biggest.
I loved bitch. Him.
No, bitch? Yo,
not at all. Play. What do you mean? He was a beast.
Oh, my God. I don't think, dude.
Feel free to cut in, Tom, if you want to take a side
here. I think his toughness was a one on a soft level when he played for us. And then all of a sudden he left us and went to other. No, I'm not saying I didn't like him as a player. I really liked him as a player. I just don't think he was a tough player. And he's this huge, massive guy. And then I think when he left us, he all of a sudden got this like newfound toughness everywhere else and became, you know, I don't know. That's just my take, but
I disagree.
I think part of it is that one of the, I don't know if it was the team that he went to directly after us or one of the first was Tampa Bay. And then obviously we played against Tampa Bay, but like, I can remember the series against Ottawa, you know, back in, I think it was 2012, 2013.
He scored goals in the first three games.
I'm not saying he wasn't a good scorer. I'm saying
he wasn't a good scorer.
He wasn't a good scorer. But
that's
like,
true.
Ottawa Senators like wanted to kill him. Like they felt like he was getting under their skin. Mm-hmm. But I think with Boyle, it was a consistency thing. And I feel like that was something like Tortorello talked about. Like you have this massive guy and it's sort of like, you know, he could be a little bit more aggressive and it's like almost like he's afraid to hurt someone. But Boyle at this point, like, I don't even know if he's that big of a factor because the wheels aren't there. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just saying physical presence, like, you know, he's just going to go after Fox.
I mean, maybe. Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't know how much physicality there's going to be this series because you have so much skill. And like,
I agree with that.
It just doesn't serve Pittsburgh's interest to try and muck it up, so to speak, because I think the Rangers are better equipped for that. And then they'll just, you know, they'll outskill them.
One of the best Brian. Oh, sorry. Cody, I was just
saying. No, go ahead.
I say one of the best Brian Boyle things from 24/7 when the Rangers were on it against the Flyers. I remember Tortorella came in the locker room after, like, you know, the first period of a game, I think it was like in St. Louis maybe. And I guess like Boyle fucked up in the first period and Tortorella goes, Brian Boyle, we've done that defensive zone coverage all season long. You got a fucking microphone on and you can't think straight. So, it was so funny, man. I was crying at that.
There's a lot of good moments with him on 24/7.
Torque's the best. But I got to say my X factor.
Okay, let's hear it.
So it's going to be a mix because it's like kind of like both. It's Trouba and Miller.
Every player on the team.
No, Trouba and Miller because they're going to be relied upon to shut down Crosby in that top line. And if they don't, then the Rangers are toast.
Yeah.
But like we said, like Tom, I've actually gone back to the stat pretty much the entire time we talked about Pittsburgh and the Rangers matching up. The Penguins have only scored 1 5-5 goal against the Rangers in three games this year. So, or four games. They've only scored 1 5-5 goal. So that's something huge to watch also if Pittsburgh can you know, figure out a way to score.
All right. Well, let's look at the other side of the coin here and let's kind of do the same, you know, question here on the Penguins, right? So my first question on the Penguins is, you know, what do we really know about Tristan Jarry? He's obviously out games one and two, they just announced. So DeSmith is their starter the first two games. So that's a big advantage for us. But he's not bad by any means. He was 11-6-5 this year with a 2.79 GAA and 914 save percentage in 24 starts. So, you know, he does have some solid numbers here. We've talked about it today. I mean, the Penguins have so many talented players. For me, in terms of game breakers, I mean, obviously Sid, but I'm going with Gensel. I think he had an unreal year. Guy had over 40 goals. He's the guy to me that they're going to need to find a way to really slow down. I feel like he's also a bit of a Ranger killer in the past, last year. So for me, I think he's the game breaker. X factor, I want to say Chris Letang because he's still so good, but I don't know if that's really an X factor. So I'm actually going to go with Jeff Carter because he is 37 years old and he still had 45 points this year with 19 goals. So he's the guy who's going to be really dangerous, who on top of all these other skilled forwards, they're going to need to figure out a way to shut him down as well. In addition to, you know, Russ, Gino, Gensel and Kraus. So there's a lot of different guys who, what'd you say?
Kraus. I've never heard that.
Kraus.
That's a new one for me.
Yeah. But, and then in terms of busts, I'm actually going to go with Malkin here. So I know he's been hurt a good amount of the season, but he's been very dangerous when he's been healthy. But he's my choice who I think they're going to do a really good job shutting him down. And I don't think he's going to, get anything going here. And, in terms of, you know, we have Igor and they don't, like we always say. So in terms of prediction, Tom, I think you're spot on there with either five or six games Rangers. I said last week that we'll win in five. So I'm going to stick with that take, but I would love to hear your guys' thoughts.
I agree with you on Gensel. Like Gensel and Rust are just two players that they've really stepped up over the last couple of years. And, you know, they're for me are sort of like the primary threats along with Crosby.
Right.
As for potential with a breakout, I'll go with who they acquired at the trade deadline, Rickard Rakell.
Yeah.
They originally acquired him as, you know, someone they thought was going to play on the Malkin line. That didn't work out so well, and they played him with Crosby, and they've had some limited success. So I think anyone that's getting fed by Crosby has the opportunity to break out. As a potential X factor, like you mentioned, like obviously Jeff Carter having a really good season. Someone else who had a really good season in somewhat unexpected fashion is Evan Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's the guy I had my eye on.
Yeah, someone who is – this is an opportunity for him. And especially as you talk about, you know, if Malkin is not going to step up as expected, like, you know, he's a free agent at the end of this year. Is this the potential for Rodriguez to cement himself as more of a top six player going forward? That's something interesting. And then for bust, I agree with Malkin, but if I were to go with someone else, I just, you know, pick the Smith just because I personally am not too impressed with him as a goalie. I just think that I feel that a lot of times, you know, I feel like he's a goalie that was pulled a lot this year. Like I don't have the numbers in front of me, but just, you know, looking at his numbers, they're about league average. And like, this is a year where, you know, goaltending was pretty much down as opposed, you know, saying like Igor and a couple of others, but
right.
I feel like, you know, the Smith is just like he's thrust into the starter role and he has a bad first two games and then they don't really have any options. And then that just turns the tide.
Yeah. You know, that's a great pick. The thing I'm nervous about, and Johnny put this into my head, is you know, in the past, the Rangers have made backups look like superstars. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing I like have in my mind, but I think he's a very beatable goalie. Again, like I said, I think he is good, but you're absolutely right. And, you know, if he has a bad game one and gets in his own head, that then it's over, you know?
I would agree with that. Like, and also like the, with the backup point, like if we see Louis Domingue at any point, like I can remember when he was on the
Lightning. He crushes us, right?
I feel like he's one of those like random backups that have
he played against well us against twice, I think.
Yeah. But I mean, if the Rangers let shitty goaltending like end their season, like, or rather like not shitty goaltending, but like shitty goaltenders, you know, outperform, like they have much bigger problems. And that's a completely other conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And how about you, John?
All right. So I'm going to start, you guys are going to make fun of me. Cause I'm starting with the X factor in the series. And again, it's not an individual, it's a unit, but the Penguins we're forgetting here. The Penguins have the third best penalty kill in the league right now. And the Rangers' bread and butter is the power play. So if the Penguins are able to kill off the Rangers, you know, all their power play momentum, and we have seen them, you know, be able to score 5-on-5 now post deadline, because they added Kopp and Petrano and Mott obviously was hurt. And, you know, all these guys that can now score 5-on-5, but man, a lot of the Rangers' momentum comes from the power play. So I think we scored one power play goal. Let me just double check. Yeah, in the four games the Rangers have played against the Penguins, we scored one power play goal. You know, these haven't been high-scoring games besides the one at MSG when the Rangers scored like three goals in the first 5 minutes. But the other games were like, you know, 3-2, 1-0. There was a 3-0 game. So for me, the X factor in the series is the Penguins' PK. You know, if they're able to shut down the Rangers, that could be a huge momentum swing for them.
Yeah.
So that's something I have my eye on. And then as individual player goes, I think Tommy made a great point. Edwin Rodriguez, there was like one point early on in the season where he was like on a tear. And I think he's in the fourth line right now. He must've just slowed down. I don't really know what happened. Tom, I don't know if you can attest to that more, but I know there was like one point where he was like scoring, like he was on like an 8-game goal streak or something. Right.
Yeah. I remember it was earlier in the year because I think, I don't know if it was, we were playing them on national TV or, They were on one of the national games, and I think like they were interviewing Crosby, and they were asking like, you know, how this season's gone, and he was like talking about Evan Rodriguez. But I think it was very much like there was some streakiness to it, but when he was super hot, like then it was hard to stop him, and it was completely unexpected.
Yeah, so he's like another X factor. I would just say as far as that goes, but then like the bust for me. I think it could be Guentzel, honestly.
That's a good one.
Because Guentzel is just like, I think everyone now has like this expectation for him because he's like, you know, become such a goal scorer. But we've seen the Penguins struggle to score against the Rangers. So I think like, you know, if Trouba and Miller are just on top of him and like bullying him, I don't think he's going to out tough Trouba. I think Trouba might be able to intimidate him. Guentzel's not the strongest guy in the league, but he has, you know, obviously a phenomenal shot. But I could see him like, you know, being a little scared of like a Trouba and Miller. So
That's fair.
You know, I think he might be a bust. Obviously, I'm not going to say Crosby or Malkin. Like, those two have just shown it their entire career. Like I think Malkin is going to have – I think he's the breakout player that I'm going to pick. Because I said it too. I think he's in a contract year also, right? This is, like, his final –
Yeah,
his final go. Yeah, so I think he's got to earn, you know, his one last contract probably of his career. He's probably going to get, like, a four-year deal and then retire after that somewhere. So, you know, I think he's got a lot to prove. And, you know, we've seen him go on tears in the playoffs. He's definitely a you know, somewhat of a Ranger killer, I think, in the past. The only thing is, like, he's such an easy guy to get under his skin. So, you know, I would expect, like, Ryan Reeves to just, like, you know, fuck with him a little bit, like, behind
if
the play.
He plays.
I think Reeves is going to play. I think you can't not play Reeves. You don't think so?
So, well, first, all right, we can get into that in a second. But first off, what's your prediction?
Rangers in six. I give Pittsburgh a little more credit. I think they'll win two games, but I don't think this goes seven.
Okay, so you just mentioned Ryan Reeves. Here's the thing. By the looks of things, based on practice today, Sunday, it was Kreider, Zib, Vetrano, Panarin, Strom, Kopp. That's set in stone. Mm-hmm. Seems like you're getting your kids' line. So Laffy, Hedl, Kako. And then that last line is Hunt, Gaudreau. And then I guess they're deciding between Rooney and Reeves.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we were playing the Caps, I think it would have been a no-brainer to put Reeves in. You know, it's a physical, tough team that we would want him in against. The Penguins, as Tom said, I don't think are that tough of a team. outside of like Brian Rust and maybe, you know, one or two other guys. So I think you can afford not to play him here. But that being said, I've expressed this to you in the past. I think if we're, you know, he has to be on this fourth line for playoffs as, yeah, as these refs really don't make as many calls. So I would like him in. I don't think it. What about you?
I think he doesn't start the first two home games. Mm-hmm. And I think depending on how those first two home games go,
yeah,
then that's a lever that Gallant can pull as an adjustment going, you know, as the series shifts to Pittsburgh. But I think, like, they added him for a reason, and part of it was what he brings from an experience standpoint, and obviously he's a big morale guy. I think we'll learn pretty quickly. And again, we could see, you know, the fourth line not play a ton, and then it's really not as big of a deal, because if they're getting less than 10 minutes a game, you know, having him in the lineup for that odd shift or two where he can make a difference, it's not going to matter that much. And like you said, you know, it's not like a liability where they're going to really be calling a whole lot. So, but yeah, I think that's an option for them to have, but going into the series, they don't exactly need him. And it's not like, you know, a physical series where if it were Washington, completely different story.
Mm-hmm. I think they got to take out Hunt and put in Reeves. I agree with your take, Tom, on just Ryan Reeves' whole morale. And like we've seen, you know, obviously we're not in the locker room every day, but we see what it looks like through the media's eyes of how much Reeves kind of just means to this team and just, you know, his overall leadership as a whole too. Cause he is a leader, like whether you think so or not, I think it's obvious that he's, you know, a guy that a lot of the young guys look up to, and he's out there to protect everybody. So, you know, I definitely think there's going to be a point where Reeves is inserted and he plays throughout the entire playoffs. You know, like Tom said, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Dryden Hunt looked like McDavid the other night with his goal. That was nasty.
I know. But that's what he does. He has a flash of flurry and then he kind of forgets about it for 40 games, you know? But I agree kind of with both sides. I could see it either way, but I always prefer grit when it comes to, you know, playoffs. So
also, side note, did you guys see the video of Ovechkin like firing up the Ranger crowd the other night? That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was so cool.
Having fun in the suite.
Yeah, I love that. That was awesome.
Being a troll season.
That was great.
Yeah, that was awesome. But Tom, I know we're kind of close on time, so if you don't mind, can we just ask maybe one more each?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. My last question is for both of you. Tom, we'll start with you. Who is this team's unsung hero this season?
So that's a tough question because I definitely feel there's a lot of people that stepped up.
I want to see if either of you say mine.
So, like, I think this is for a number of reasons. So, I'm going to say Trouba.
Boom.
In the sense of, I feel like DeAndre Miller is a great success story from this year. And him and Miller, they spent the most time together as a pair out of all of the defense pairs in the league. And that's something that I've been waiting for a long time, because I feel like over the last 5 years, if you ever looked at line combinations, defense combinations, the Rangers would just have so many different combinations. Like, okay, we're going to spend some time here, spend some time here. There was never that consistency that I was able to develop. And, you know, him being a mentor on the ice, being a mentor off the ice, like, that's really valuable. And then there's obviously, you know, the recruitment he did in the sense of the guys that they added at the trade deadline. Andrew Kopp, you know, played with him, you know, Michigan. Tyler Mott, another, you know, Michigan guy. You know, Vetrano, you know, played with him. I think it was, you know, Team USA, like U18 or something. So, like, that obviously has some impact. But I think he's also a guy, and, you know, you look at his contract and people are like, well, $8 million, it's a whole lot. But relatively speaking, obviously there's still time on the deal and,
right,
you know, things can happen. But out of all of the big defense contracts that have been signed over the last 3 or 4 years, his isn't one of the worst. And I would say it's one of the more middle of the road ones. And I think the fact that now this is, you know, another year completely spent in New York where he had all this uncertainty in Winnipeg, he's more comfortable. He had a solid year offensively. So I would say Trouba is certainly one of the more unsung players from this season.
Yeah, yeah. No, I definitely agree with you. And Johnny, I did just want to add before you jump into your guy. I also think it's Jacob Trouba. This guy, like you said, big contract, caught a ton of crap his first 2 years in New York City, being a little underwhelming. And, you know, that could have, if you think about it, that could have gotten under the skin of so many different types of players that you've seen in the past with, you know, other D-men with a big price tag for even playing for the Rangers. Like you saw it with Shattenkirk, you saw it with Shea. But not only did this guy not really ever say anything negative, he kind of kept his head down, kept grinding, became a leader in and out of the locker room. And I think he's had one hell of a year to show for it. He laid down the hammer on guys all season long. On top of that, he started to produce offensively as well with 39 points. He's definitely one of my favorite players on the team. And I think it's really time that, you know, fans should start putting some damn respect on this guy's name, because I think at this point he's earned it. And I do think he's going to be a really, really big contributor and really make his presence known in these playoffs as well.
I feel like he's a dark horse to be the next captain. And the reason I say that is I feel like if it was going to be Kreider or it was going to be Zibanejad, they would have done it by now. But the fact that they've continued not to have one, it's like, it feels like Kreider, like everyone says Kreider is the captain. When is he going to get the C? And like, I agree, but there've been so many opportunities for that to happen. The fact that it hasn't, that's, you know, speaks volume to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's definitely one of three between, you know, him, Kreider and Zib for sure. So he's been a big contributor and I'm a big, big fan of him. What about you, John?
This is hard to call him unsung, but I feel like it's been so under the radar and it's going to sound like basic, I guess, but Panarin for me is like, it's not an unsung hero because he's like our fucking all-star.
I understand what you're saying.
But like, dude, the guy had 96 points this year and played half the season on a line with Strome and Dryden Hunt. Like he could have easily like folded it in and like, you know, maybe put up 60, 70 points. Panarin had, I mean, I know a lot of his points also came on the power play, like 42 power play points, like half his points from the power play, but he could have easily been a guy who's like, you know, a superstar that, you know, kind of like sulked and, you know, pissed the bed and all that shit and had a bad year. But like, yeah, you know, Panarin had one of his best career years this year on a line with two guys who aren't necessarily studs, you know?
And it was really quiet too, because
so
like,
quiet.
You hear like, oh, he's struggling. But then you like, you go to NHL.com and you look at like points and you're like, oh shit, like Panarin's pretty up there. And
yeah,
you don't really hear about that.
Right.
I literally said that to Johnny. I think it was last week that, you know, people kind of take Panarin how good he is for granted.
Yeah.
The guy had the most quiet 96 point season I think we've ever seen.
Ever.
And was, as I said earlier, was literally a 1.28 point per game player. And you don't see that often. So yeah, no, that's a good one for sure.
Yeah. I feel like he's just like without his production this year, like if he just like had an off season playing on that line, which he easily could have had, like, who knows, man, like the offense clearly like drives through him. You know, I think everyone knows that. And something I've been saying to Cody too, Tom, I don't know if you'll agree, but have you ever, like, aside from the Tom Wilson fiasco, like Panarin has this insane skill or awareness where he just like never gets hit.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about him. Like when people look at, you know, players and their ages and stuff and like aging curves and stuff like that, like Panarin is, I think he's going to be 30 soon, but like he came over to the NHL, you know, later. He didn't log like a ton of miles in the KHL. So like relatively speaking, he still has a lot of game left and he does have this ability to know where he is and put himself in situations where like, all right, I'm not going to do this because if I do this, I can get hit or I can get rubbed out along the boards or whatever. But it's that spatial awareness that makes him one of the elite players in the game.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. It's a crazy skill. I don't know how I just like never seen him get laid out. The only time I can imagine or remember Panarin getting laid out was when he was on Columbus and McAvoy laid the shit out of him and they fought.
Oh my God. That was
that was a sick hit. But yeah, Tom,
so he's learned since then.
Yeah, no, he has. He definitely has. And Tom, are you going to beat any games in the playoffs? Cause I'll be at game one. I think I'm going to try to get to game five. I know Cody will be there, even though we're going to try to get him.
I'll be at game five out. And I'll be at game two. If I'm in the clear.
Mm-hmm.
No plans at this point. Cause I'm going to look at tickets and see if prices come down. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Like, depending on how far they go, like I'll actually be probably be in California when they're in the second round. Mm-hmm. So like it's weird. So we'll see.
Just the old 5 p.m. Ticketmaster search.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I used to do that all the time when I was trying to get playoff tickets. Literally I'd come home from school because I was still in high school and they were in the playoffs, and I'd go right to Ticketmaster or StubHub and I'd look at tickets and like, I have to get a ticket by 5 p.m. or I can't go because you got to catch the 5:22 train. So, that's really funny. But Tom, we want to thank you so much for doing this. And
yeah, this is great.
We would love to meet you in person sometime. I don't know if you plan on
sure.
going to a bar maybe to watch the game or something. Where you're in Orange County, New York right now?
Yeah. So I'm about like 60 miles north of the city.
So it's not close, but
not the Cali OC.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
we'll try to figure something out.
Yeah.
But it was great talking to you. We
truly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.